Healthy faith turns our stress to praise. And I know this is hard for us to hardly follow, but the good news is the Lord tells us how to do it, how to turn stress, because anybody here not have any stress at all last week? Everything went just as you planned it? Okay, I think we'll all stay for the meeting then, because all of us have plenty of stress to go around. So in John 14, verse 15, Jesus is talking, and he says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you." And so what our Father wants us to know in our Lord Jesus is that if you need relief from stress, and all of us do, because stress can really build on us. We're going to talk quite a bit about stress tonight. Godly faith can and will turn your stress to praise for our Lord. We have to be sure that we're walking in godly faith. So in John 14, again in verse 26, we're talking about godly stress. It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now in our country, we have not seen open warfare in our country. We did see back 2001, the Twin Towers come down and a few thousand died, and it was a very stressful time in our nation. But imagine if you lived in Ukraine today and saw your family with bombs coming at you left and right all around, or you lived in the nation of Israel with rockets coming in. Do you know that in our world today there have been more than 14,000 wars in our world since 3,600 BC? The University of Oslo, Norway Academy of Sciences said, "The world has known relative peace less than 5% of the time over the last 5,600 years. 5% of the time, nations are at rest. All the rest of the time, 95% of the time, you've got wars. The U.S. Defense Department of Defense has identified 43 combat zones that are active in our world today. That's up from 23 in 2007. And so more and more nations are going to war to get what they want. You've got Russia with their eyes on Ukraine. You've got China with their eyes on Taiwan. We've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on all around us. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus said it's His peace. It's not your peace. It's not my peace. Jesus said, if you will trust him and have faith in him and apply the faith, he'll give you his peace. So important. He didn't say he was going to take trouble away from you. He didn't say he was going to change the world for you. What he did say in John 16:33 is, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Our problem is we live more in this world than we abide in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but he told us these things so that we might have peace in the midst of all the confusion, all the craziness, all the trouble. The word for trouble in that verse is the word in the Greek language, it's thlipsis, and it means crushing of the grape. When they used to pick the grapes, the way they made wine back in Old Testament days is they had a big vat they would throw all the grapes into, and then you would go in there barefoot and you would crush the grapes. That's the word that's used. Anybody feel like sometimes you're getting crushed in this world? Sometimes I feel like it's elephants that are doing the crushing. Again, in John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So it's not our peace. It's not a peace this world gives. I can have perfect peace in this world when everything's going great. But everything doesn't go great very often in this world. And so I don't have peace in this world, but I can have Jesus Christ's peace no matter what's going on in this world, as long as I focus on him. When Jesus comes to dwell in our hearts, all of Jesus comes to dwell. Tonight is a wonderful promise given by God's word. He promises that he will give you peace, his peace. In a cover article in Parade magazine, the subject was stress in America. I don't know if you understand this, but we have more stress today than we have ever had. We have more wealth today. We have more prosperity. We have more things that we can have. But it all causes more and more and more stress. 60% of visits to doctor's offices today, they tell us, are caused by stress and the results of stress. So over half of the doctor's visits that go on in our country are caused by stress. Stress caused the American industry $150 billion from absenteeism, loss of productivity, accidents, and medical insurance. And so stress is a big problem in our country. Every week in this country, 112 million people take medications for stress. You know that's one of three? Almost. I think we got almost 400 million now. But that's almost one in three people are taking active medication to control stress. Occupational Safety and Health says that excessive stress costs our country $20 billion a year. Now you got 150 and 20. I don't know how you put the two together, but that's what they're saying. Stress is a problem. And when you look at your life, there may be some practical things that we can all do to cut down on stress. In other words, if you've got 10 things to do, if you could take one of those things off your list, it might reduce your stress. But that's not the answer we're looking at tonight. All of us have active lives, a lot going on, and so we need to control it. But I'm going to give you a test to see if you need the message tonight. So I'm going to give you a sentence, and you tell me the end word. I'm about ready to throw in the... Okay, you did real well. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm a bundle of nerves. I'm a bundle of nerves. Okay, so we got about half and half on that one. My life is falling apart. Very good. I'm at my wits... And very good. I'm about to come unglued, absolutely. I feel like resigning from the human race. You guys did good. You need the sermon. So do I. I think we need the message, so passing the test, we're going to move forward. Well, we may do some things to reduce stress in our life. In other words, you can look ahead at your calendar and say, you know, I've just got too much. I just can't do this or that thing. But again, that's man's way of dealing with stress, trying to get it under control. And it's a good thing. I'm not saying that's bad, because you can only do so many things. But what we want is God's peace. The Lord Jesus Christ said he would give us his peace in the midst of our trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you and I are going to have trouble. But he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. If you have stress, you can conquer stress through your faith in Jesus Christ. He will guide you, and he will tell you what to do and what not to do. But in the midst of troubles and trials, because he's not going to take it all away, we can have perfect peace. And that's the promise. So I want to give you four or five things tonight about reducing stress. Number one, godly faith receives God's pardon. And you may say, why would you say that, Pastor? Because psychologists tell us today that most of the stress in most people's lives is caused by guilt. Believe it or not, guilt creates a lot of stress. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. Remember David? When he got into sin with Bathsheba, he hid it, called her husband home. Her husband wouldn't go home and have sex with his wife, so he had him killed, hid it again for almost a year, most theologians believe. And David said during that whole time, my bones burned within me. Folks, if you have unconfessed sin, it's going to cause a lot of stress. And that's just as true for the unsaved as it is for the saved. People will say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. It doesn't matter if you see anything wrong with it or not. If God says it's wrong, he's going to get after you. We have to understand that. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. Why do people keep sinning when they already know this is very hurtful to my family, very hurtful to me? Sin is pleasant for a season. Even though it's causing stress and hardship on everybody around them, they keep right on going. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God. If God says it's wrong, in my heart, I want to say it's wrong too. I don't want to harden my heart and say there's nothing wrong with this. Because if God says it's wrong, and I'm guaranteed 100% to reap what I sow, I'm sowing trouble for myself and my family and my friends. Psychologists call it guilt. You can call it whatever you want, but the truth of the matter is when you're guilty of something and you know you're guilty of something and you just continue right in that, it's going to cause stress not just for you, but for everyone around you. All of us are less than what we would like to be. I would like to walk with the Lord even closer than I am, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job. But I know there's still some things that I could change to do even better. That's going to cause some stress. The good news for us is that there is forgiveness. There is restoration. There is mercy from God. God has forgiven you if you receive Jesus Christ of all your sin. But he still says you have to come for daily cleansing. If you've done something wrong, the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sin, and he'll cleanse that sin out of our lives. It's important that we continue to do that. The Lord will convict you of sin. Satan will condemn you for sin. Conviction's a good thing. Conviction will change your heart. Condemnation will put you under guilt. Our God is the God of everlasting mercy. That's one of the reasons we keep coming back to him, because he does love us. He loves to forgive. In Lamentations 3:21, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What that means is that if we blew it yesterday, today can be a brand new day. We can have a brand new start. All we have to do is confess our sin, repent of it, and we're ready to go again. If you're a Christian. If you're a non-Christian, you can do all the repenting you want, but guess what? It's not forgiven. It's still on your slate. And so that's one of the reasons we want to be a Christian. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. He's talking about you, my friend. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation in Christ. Again, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Don't let Satan keep condemning you for something you did 2 years ago that you have confessed and you have repented of. Don't let him do that to you. You can say, the same as Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. You don't have to take constant condemnation. If it's forgiven in Christ, your faith should tell you that you're no longer guilty of that sin. Was it wrong? Yes, it was wrong, but it's behind you. Don't let it keep tripping you up. Godly faith recognizes God's presence. So number one, we've got that we want to receive the Lord as our Savior to reduce guilt. Now we're talking about recognizing God's presence in our life. In Isaiah 23, verse 6, it deals with the focus on and it deals with the key to realizing the presence of God in our lives. This is extremely important. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Everything in the Bible is linked to our faith. Your faith, we sing the song, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that receives salvation. It's all based on your faith. And so an important thing to deal with stress is to deal with your faith. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. It says, because he trusts in you. I'm hoping that you're learning more and more to trust in the Lord. There's a difference between having a head faith and a heart trust. A lot of people know up here what God says, but true living faith is in the heart. It's with your whole being. When you say, I can trust my Lord no matter what is happening. Peace is like a mindset. And so whose mind are you stayed upon? Are you stayed upon your own mind and what's going on in this world? Or is your mind stayed on the Lord? Are you trusting him as your strength and your peace and your joy? When we talk about faith, a lot of people say, like Pastor William's little boy, when there was a storm one night, I forget which boy it was, but there was a storm, and her mom came in and dad and said, don't worry, Jesus is right here with you. And the little boy said, where is him? We want to see somebody. We want to grab somebody. We want to hold somebody. Our Lord isn't there in person. So how do we actually get to the point where we do feel him? We do know that he's there. The answer is found in Psalm 46:10, and this is something very, very important. He says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. There has to be a time in your life when it's just you and God. When you're not rushing to the next appointment, when you're not hurrying to do this or do that, you have to have some time every day where it's just you and the Lord, where you're not running off. You know, the Bible says just a little bit differently in Proverbs 19:2, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? If you're always in a hurry, if you have no time to sit with God, to get to know God, to just sit and wait for him to speak to you, You can rush through your whole life and never have that intimate knowledge of the Lord. Today, you can't find quiet almost anywhere. You go into somebody's home, and usually there's a radio playing in one room, and the TV's going in the other room, and the computer's going on in the other room. How do you ever find that place where it's just me and my Lord? And the Lord wants us to shut some things off. Even if you and I were just to take 5 or 10 minutes a day just to sit with the Lord. Well, who's got 5 or 10 minutes? Well, how many minutes is there in a day? There's 24 hours of 60 minutes, 1,200, 1,500 minutes a day. If you can't take a little bit of time to be alone with the Lord, you're too busy. And I got to tell you, a lot of people are too busy. No time for Bible reading, no time for prayer, no time to sit and just be in His presence. So I just want to encourage you, listen for the Lord. Take your time sometimes. Slow down just a little bit. They told us when these computers came in and all the helps that we've got now, automatic washing machines and dryers and all the things we have, that we were going to have more time than ever just to sit around. How many lives is that true in? Not mine, I can tell you that. I'm busier than I've ever been. So what God wants us to know is intimate knowledge of Him. The more you know Him, the more you trust in Him, the more peace you're going to have in your heart. So, know that I am God. That means I am God and I can. That means you are man and you can't. I hope you know how limited we are. God has absolute knowledge of everything that we're ever going to need. And you stop and think of all the knowledge there is in this world, how much do you have? I'm going to guess I don't have a tenth of the knowledge that there is that needs to be known. Probably not even a percent. We don't have all the answers, but we know somebody who does. Godly faith remembers God's principles. There are principles in the Word of God that you really need to know. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands." Now, the Old Testament law is not what we would be talking about today. We would say, Lord, the commands that you've given for our time, as we understand and know them, that's what's going to bring us peace. That's what's going to bring us joy. The Lord says, for one thing, don't be drunk with wine, doesn't He? But how many people, even Christians, still go out and get drunk? And they wonder, what's wrong? How come I got a ticket? How come my license is taken away? How come I can't hold a job? Why do you think? Disobedience brings punishment. It says, nothing shall offend them, nothing shall make them stumble. They wait for God's salvation. They wait for God's timing. His commands are His principles, and the Bible is our owner's manual. God inspired the Word of God. God is the one who wrote the manual to inform us how to best live. If you went out and bought a brand new Cadillac, and you got the manual, or now it's probably online, the manual, but it tells you how often you ought to change your oil in that car. What happens if you disregard the manual? And you don't change the oil, you don't check the transmission, you don't do anything, you don't rotate tires. How long is that Cadillac going to last? It's not going to run very well. After probably 50 to 80,000 miles, you're going to start having a lot of trouble. And a lot of people never learn the principles of God's Word. They don't care to take the time to understand what God has told us in His owner's manual. One lady was at a Bible study one night, and the Bible study leader said, "What should we do with these wonderful principles of God's Word?" And a little lady raised her hand and said, "I like to paint them blue." Now, folks, if all you do is paint them blue, and you don't ever memorize them, you don't learn them, you can paint them any color you want to. It's not going to help. We have to go beyond just underlining or marking And the Bible says we need to get the God's word into our hearts. It's not enough just to read it. You have to learn it well enough to hide it in your heart. When Jesus Christ was tempted of Satan, he answered him with scripture. And then Satan answered him with scripture. And Jesus had to know the Bible better than Satan did to come out on top. Guess what? You and I also have to know the Bible in order to win against Satan. Extremely important. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They were at the promised land border. Jesus said, the Lord said, you're ready to move into the land. They said, we can't. Folks, that's disobedience. We wonder now, God says he'll keep in perfect peace he or she whose mind is stayed on him. And we're all tensed up and we wonder why. It's because you're not living by faith. I'm not living by faith sometimes. Just the other day, in fact, it was kind of humorous how the Lord did it. I was getting ready to work on this message, but I hadn't worked on it yet. And we got a thing on the phone about a bill that we owed for my shoulder surgery there, or whatever, not surgery, but checking it out. Got a bill on the phone. I've never had a bill on the phone before. But anyhow, we tried to pay it on the phone. And I don't know if you ever tried to use your computer to pay a bill or do anything, but very confusing. I was getting very tense. And Mimi said, have you prayed about it? Well, come on. What good's that going to do? But then I did. I stopped and I prayed according to God's word. And suddenly I was filled with peace. Where there was terrible, terrible stress just a few minutes before. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, this is a verse, again, when I tell you this is one you really need to memorize, you really need to memorize this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So a few things that I want to hit real briefly. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means depending on the Lord totally from your heart. If somebody says you can't trust the Lord in this, you ought to do it this way. You have to come back with the response, no, I'm going to do it the way my Lord told me to do it. He knows, you sadly do not know. Lean not on your own understanding. I can't tell you how many people say what God says doesn't make sense. I'm going to do it the way we've always done it. And it always fails. But they're going to keep right on doing it because God's ways doesn't make sense. God said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Many of the things the Lord asks us to do are not going to make sense until we do it and find out, yep, exactly what the Lord told me to do. So I want to encourage you, don't go by your own understanding. Our understanding is very, very limited. If God says this is the way it is, faith says, yes, sir, I'm going to trust you, even though to me, it makes no sense at all. Part of our problem is we keep trying to figure it out. Friends, there are things in life you are never going to figure out. You've got to get used to that. Faith says, I don't have to have all the answers. When Abraham followed God, out of Ur of the Chaldees, he went to a place he didn't even know he was going. It made no sense except God had given him a promise. He said, Abraham, if you follow me, I'll make you into a great nation. Abraham believed God and that settled it, and he went off with the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You have to admit some basic things about your relationship with God. In some cases, you're going to have to change your concept of God, because he's way bigger than we are. He's way smarter than we are. His ways are not our ways. Most of the things that happen to us happen as a result of the fact that God has given us freedom of choice. And sometimes our freedom of choice gets us into all kinds of peculiar problems. Most of the things that happen to us are a result of our choices in life. And so we have to come back to the Lord when we hit those times of choices. In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We have to learn how to throw that anxiety on the Lord and not take it back. We are really good at throwing it out there, but we're not very good about leaving it with the Lord. We think we have to carry it. Godly faith requests God's provision in life. So I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and this is the verse that Mimi was telling me about that I said, nah, can't work. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, there are some key elements right here that even though I preached this sermon almost the same several times, still when the pressure builds up in our life, we can totally miss it. When I couldn't figure out how to get that bill paid, the stress started to build. And instead of rejoicing in the Lord, instead of praying to the Lord, instead of trusting the Lord with my problem, I was carrying it, trying to figure out my own understanding, how in the world can I get this thing done? Here's what happened. As soon as I read that verse, I said, okay, Lord, let's put it to the test. I stopped what I was doing, trying to figure it out. I confessed that I was very anxious. I asked the Lord to fill me with his peace, and this was the part that was missing. Not only hadn't I not prayed, but I was not giving thanks to God for my situation. As soon as I gave him thanks, it was just like the dam broke. The stress was gone. And I can't encourage you enough, do the same thing. The next time the stress hits you, and it will hit you probably this week again, stop what you're doing, turn to your Lord in faith and say, Lord, I haven't got an answer for this. It's too much for me. Lord, I want to give you thanks for all the times you've blessed me before. Would you help me handle this thing? You'll be amazed what will happen. He can't break his word. He said, if you do this, peace that passes all understanding will flood your soul and your heart. How long is it going to last? Till the next time the stress comes and you forget to rejoice, you forget to give thanks, you forget to pray. The pressure is going to build and build and build until by faith you say, you know, I know the solution to this. I have to rejoice in the Lord in my situation, even though I don't like the situation. I have to ask the Lord for his insight into this, and I have to give him thanks. It's an amazing thing, but it works. I can guarantee you it works because it worked for me. We don't always take the first time. So what God says is don't worry about a thing. Instead, pray about everything. And as you're praying about your problem, be sure to give me thanks for all the other times I've helped you along the way. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. In John 14, verse 1, our Lord is facing death the next morning. He knows he's going to die the next morning. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do you know what that verse tells me? Peace is in a person. It's not in a situation. It's in a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of what? The Prince of Peace. He's the one that can give you peace in the midst of the most terrible situations. You read the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her sister in the German concentration camps. All the terrible things that were going on. Corrie was awful upset about the fleas that were in the room with them. There were fleas everywhere. And she got really upset, and her sister said, God's got a reason for the fleas. Do you know what God's reason for the fleas turned out to be? The guards didn't bother those women in that barracks because there were too many fleas. Folks, God's got a reason why he allows trouble in our lives. If we would just learn to trust our God, it takes us back again to John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When our hearts start to well up with stress, when our hearts get troubled, it's because we've taken our eyes off our Lord. We're trying to carry the burden. We're trying to get it done. And God says that's a foolish thing to do. He's got more than enough wisdom to handle any problem in any of our lives, more than enough understanding. And so what our Lord wants us to do, when the disciples were with him in the ship on the sea, and the waves came up, and Jesus is in the back of the stern asleep. The disciples went to him and said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? What was Jesus' answer? He looked at the waves and the wind, and he said, peace, be still. And the waves went flat, and the wind stopped blowing. The Lord can do that in your heart. And he's done it in our hearts before. What he's asking for is for you and I to trust him, to turn to him in our stress, to ask him with thanksgiving, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? His peace will flood your soul. You'll be as amazed as I was. It was 1 second high stress, next second no stress. Why? Because Jesus gave us a promise. If we'll come to him in prayer with thanksgiving, he'll handle the stress. Then all we have to do is deal with the problem. It was an amazing thing. Very shortly thereafter, Mimi hit the right button on the phone. I don't know if it was by accident or what, but all at once, all we had to do was hit a button and the bill was paid. I just want to encourage you in this. Put this to the test in your life. The next time the stress is building and you can't get an answer, turn to the answer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with thanksgiving and rejoicing in your heart and watch what God will do. He'll take the stress away. I don't know how he does it. I'm just glad he does.